Lord, just thank you. We do pray, Father, for covering of our pastor as he travels through Israel today. Pastor Ben, Ramona, faithful missionaries, decades and decades, Lord. Bless the body of Christ. Cover Pastor Love, the teenagers, the skiing, but most of all, the Word of God, Lord. Our precious teenagers, their lives. Father, we pray this morning that you would give each one of us focus. We would hear precisely, pay attention, get a hold of what you have for us. Thank you, Lord. Pray for pulpits across America and the world, all of our missionaries, every church that is declaring who you are and what you've done this morning. Anoint your people. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. As you're standing, we're going to look at three portions of Scripture. The first is going to be John chapter 17, verse 11, 12, and 15. And then 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. And then 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. So, first portion is going to be John chapter 17, verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. 1 Peter 1, 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And then 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Timothy 1, 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day.
Father, thank you today for the keeping ability and power of God. Thank you. Once again, lift up Pastor Schaller. Thank you for his life as he pastors here. Pray for the work, the time in Israel. Pastor Love, once again, with the teenagers. Keep and protect people from any kind of danger. Skiing, God, just cover them. Thank you, Jesus. We pray. Bless our church. Bless churches in Baltimore and throughout Maryland and America. Father, just to touch people with the word. Build us up. We thank you. Help us, God, to be receivers. It says, receive with meekness the implanted and grafted word which can deliver my soul. So we thank you. Jesus was meek and lowly. And he said, you'll find rest for your soul. Help us today to rest in our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Excuse me. Good morning. Tonight I'll speak we're going to have a very short service tonight. A few songs, an offering, and a message called Super Bold. What does it mean to be super bold? I don't know. I'm just having fun. Hallelujah. Roland Lake, you like that. Roland Legu. Glad that you're here. I love preaching with your faces there. I was reading something this morning, and we want to speak about what it means to be kept by God. And God keeps us in his personal initiation towards us. He uses people. He uses the church, obviously. He uses situations to keep us. In Acts 21, 22, 23, 24, I think 26 and 27, 20 times there's a man mentioned. His name is Chief Captain Lysias. And he saved Paul out of so many situations. I mean, literally, God used this Roman chief captain centurion to deliver Paul out of the hands of danger. 20 times, read it in the book of Acts, Chief Captain Lysias. And I thought that was amazing. I never really read or thought about that before. But here's a Roman centurion, a chief captain, that God will put right in the middle of this plan to save the Apostle Paul. Was he a believer? No one knows. I don't know at all. Just like he used Julius in Acts 27 to get Paul on a boat to Rome when people wanted to kill him. So God is in the keeping business. Say that. God is in the keeping business. And the word in the Old Testament, shamar, the New Testament, phylasso, phoreo, or tereo, it means God, if you take all the definitions, and there's a lot of them, speaks of God keeping us safe, God protecting us, God watching over us. But there's two words that really struck me in all of those different Greek and Hebrew words, and it was observe to preserve. God observes me to preserve me. Amen? The devil observes us to destroy us, but God observes us to preserve us. And I think it's amazing that God keeps us. And when you think about eternal security, which we believe to the utmost, and it's very sad to think, though, that at times in my life, I can know the doctrine of eternal security. John 10, 27 through 30, Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, Isaiah 49, 14 through 16. I can understand the doctrine of eternal security, but I try to help God out by doing a lot of keeping on my own. You know, keeping the plan, keeping myself spiritual, keeping, you know, we tend to enter in. And so we believe in eternal security positionally, and we would never doubt that. But somehow I find myself trying to help God along. Have you ever done that? You ever tried to help God? Just help him out, you know. Just help him out. He needs a little help. He's not really in tune with what's going on in my life. I kind of know more about my life than he does, so I'm going to help him out and really make some decisions that will help him, you know. And I love Ezra's name. I used to hear people say Ezra's name means God's helper. You're wrong. Ezra's name from Azar in the Hebrew means helped of God. God does the helping. Amen? He's my helper. And so God is the keeper of the believer. Ephesians 1 verse 13 says that when we believe and we trusted in God, we were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. The word sealed is spragus. Can you say that? Spragus. Not trying to get technical or intricate, but spragus. And it means God owns me and I have security. I'm owned by God and I have security in God. All right? God owns me. By the way, God doesn't mortgage us out. We don't pay rent. God owns us and we're owned by God and we are secure in God. Tremendous security. And he wants the Ephesians to know this. He wants the church to know this. He wants the believer to understand who they are in Christ, that they are secure in God. And he says it again in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. It says that we are sealed, spragus again, we are sealed to the day of redemption. That all the way to the end. And by the way, I was thinking today, when I was sitting there a few minutes ago, there's no such thing as a midlife crisis in eternal life. Because there's no mid. It's eternal. It's Zoe. You know, you hear people talking about having a midlife crisis. The heck is midlife? What does that mean? Now, I'm not going to be having one at 70 or 71, because that would mean I'd live to be 140, and I'm not so sure I want that to happen. Okay? Midlife crisis, although there are people in villages in Africa that are in their 130s and stuff. If you don't believe it, come with me. Isn't that a little bit of an enticement, huh? You want to see somebody that's 138 years old? Oh, and they're still farming. It's amazing. Sealed. I'm owned by God and I'm secure in God. I'm sealed by the Spirit of God until the day of redemption. God is in the business of keeping us. Amen? But the one who lost his place in heaven, he's in the business of making us insecure. He's called a liar in John 8:44. Do you ever address the liar? Hey, liar, shut up. Huh? I like A.W. Tozier wrote a book, I Talk Back to the Devil. He talks to you, talk back. Tell him to shut his stinking mouth. Zechariah 2:13 and Zechariah 3:1. Shut up. I preached a message called Shut Up, Devil. Shut Up, Flesh, Romans 3. And Shut Up, World, Romans 3:19. Shut up, flesh. Shut up, world. Shut up, devil. Everybody shut up. So just close your mouth, tape it, it's over. Okay? Shut up. And so, and by the way, we often hear people, I've heard people on the radio at times, I don't listen much, but and I've heard people say, like, so what was Satan's sin? In Isaiah 14, he said, I will be like the Most High. He said, five I wills. And then in Ezekiel 28, verses 10 through like 18, it said that he was perfect and he was the anointed cherub until iniquity is found in him. Well, what was his iniquity? Can I tell you, it was very simple. His iniquity is he took his eyes off of God and started to look at himself. Wasn't like any big thing as far as like, you know, we think about sin and evil, we think about certain things. When I become self-conscious, I'm finished. Are you with me? Self-conscious. Satan became self-conscious. Then he fell because he started to look at himself instead of looking to God. And he thought, why should I just be a chief archangel? Why can't I not only be in the Trinity, I want to even be above the Trinity. That's what he was thinking. Just read Isaiah 14, 12 through 14, and you will see the drift of that. He became self-conscious. And so what does he do in the garden? What does the enemy do in the garden? He gets them to listen to someone that was self-conscious, not someone, but an angel that was self-conscious. And what did they become? They became self-conscious. He said, ah, God's holding back from you. He doesn't want you to eat of these trees. There's a reason. He started like bringing half-truths or 90% truths. And they became what? Self-conscious. And when they became self-conscious, they were no longer God-conscious. And there's where the fall takes place. Now, how does that play out in my life today? Well, I can become self-conscious. Hey! Look what I do. Look what I am. Look what I've done. Oh, really? That's interesting. I mean, God blew the breath of life into you. You were just a hunk of dust. We were just a hunk of dust. You know, we were like nothing. Pastor Schaller preached a message years ago. I always remember the phrase he used in it. Take it easy on yourself, dusty. Just a hunk of dust, you know. Just take it. I'm sorry to do something to yourself. I'm not doing anything to yourself, image in Christ. But who we are outside of God is just a big zero. Of course, there's a lot of people who really think they're something outside of God. And it's going to take a great fall to make them realize that they're nothing. I am nothing. I was nothing. I will be nothing. I can do nothing. I know nothing. I'm just a big zero without God. Without Jesus Christ, I don't care how high up you are in the life, the biological sphere of this world, how rich you are, how much power you have, how much authority you have. You are a zero without Jesus Christ and the finished work. And some people are impressed by unsaved people that have accomplished a lot. I am not at all impressed. They're like a rubber band. You see? That's gone. That one's finished. They're like a rubber band that just is thrown away when it's snapped in half. And what happens? I become self-conscious. And everything is kind of like centered on self. I was thinking about this today, that you become self-conscious. Then you can be other-conscious. Well, I got to spend this $240 on this hairdo so I can impress people that I don't know. It's like people that buy cars to impress people on the road that they don't even know who they are. But they're just trying to impress people by the kind of car they drive. I'm not against driving a nice car. I have a nice Jeep, 17 years old and still going. It's doing a lot better than the 30-year-old van I had so far. Did you notice what I said? So we go from self-conscious to all of a sudden we can become other-conscious. It's still self-conscious. I'm conscious of what other people think. How I come across. Somebody said to me, you don't match. Like, what is matching? Like, what does it mean? What does matching mean? Like, it's your configuration of colors that makes people think it's okay? You got to come to Africa for a while. It's not what matches, it's what's clean. Are you with me? Ain't about what matches. Who cares what matches? You know? One time I noticed myself on stage and I had two different color socks on. A brown and a blue. And I thought to myself, wow, I need help. Well, no, they both socks and they both fit the purpose. All right? Other conscious. I'm conscious about what other people think about me. Okay? And whatnot. And I understand there can be a balance to that, but watch yourself. How about this? I'm world conscious. What does the world think of our church? Well, they ought to hate us. Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll hate you. Oh, you want a good reputation? Then don't be a Christian. Or be a carnal one. Huh? Conscious of what the world thinks. If you just, you know, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time if you'll just bow down and worship me. What does the world think? What does the world think of the church? Like we just had, three amazing conferences with 3,000 people in West Africa. People want to know, like, why do you go so long? Hello? Because there's greater grace, all right? And there's 170 churches in West Africa alone. And it's amazing. I love it because there are people, there's a person that has no job and lives in one room with sometimes 16 other people sitting next to a person that's the prime minister of the country. And you wouldn't even know that. It's amazing. And it's interesting, you know, being conscious of the world. What does the world think? What does the world know? What does it think about me? Okay? Somebody said to me, you're getting old. I said, the next one to die is the oldest person. You didn't get that. Okay. What do you mean I'm getting old? I'm eternal, right, Pastor Bob? You're talking about biological life? You can have it. I'm talking about eternal life. Conscious, age conscious. How about this? Here's a big one. Health conscious. No, you got indigestion. You're not having a heart attack. Okay, like some people are like so crazy. By the way, I ate four things in one day, and my wife said, well, any one of those is like a death sentence. I said, well, when you put them all together, you come out clean. You do very well. Huh? Age conscious, health conscious, okay? How about test and trial conscious? I'm only conscious of what I'm going through. I'm conscious of that. And what I'm saying is, when I'm God conscious, I understand I'm kept by God. Amen? God keeps me, and I'm conscious of God keeping me. This is so important. I'm conscious of God keeping me all these years. Think about how God kept you to the time that you made a decision to receive Christ as your Savior. Even when you didn't know God, God was keeping you. Amen? Even when you didn't know, I didn't know God, God was keeping me. You say, but what about all these? That's between God and God's mind and God's plan. I'm not going to answer those theological dissertations this morning. All I know is God was keeping me. How many times should I have not made it? How many times should you have not made it by an accident or a sickness or something that took place? But God was doing what? He was observing you to preserve you. Amen? I'm observing you to preserve you. Isn't that the way it ought to be in marriage? I'm observing her to preserve her in marriage. I'm observing my husband to preserve my husband. I'm observing my children to preserve my children. Are you with me? Observe to preserve. People in positions of authority should be observing to preserve. They are in the place of keeping people. God does the keeping, but I'm saying with God's heart towards people. And if you look at this principle, I thought about this, that I'm in the Father, I'm in the Son, I'm in the Spirit. I'm in His heart, I'm in His eye, and I'm in His hand. Say that. I'm in His heart. Are you here?
I'm in His heart.
I'm in His heart. I'm in His eye, I'm in His hand. That's Psalm 78, 72. He fed me with the integrity of His heart, and He guided me by the skillfulness of His hand. His eye guided me. So I'm in God's heart. That's amazing. I don't just have God's heart, I'm in God's heart. I was chosen before the foundation of the world. Nothing is a surprise to God. Are you with me? Ephesians 1, verses 4 through 6, I was chosen to be in Him before the foundation of the world. That should take away worry. That should take away anxiety. God is keeping me. Are you with me?
Yes.
It's keeping me. The devil is a liar, and the flesh is a liar, and the world is a liar. You got to keep yourself. You got to figure out life yourself. You got to protect yourself. You got to provide for yourself. Really? That's interesting. Somebody told me one time there was a certain thing that was on my arm. They said, if that thing had bit you, you probably wouldn't have made it. I said, who cares? It was there and it didn't do it. And I'm still here. And I'm here till God takes me out. Okay? And whatever that means, I don't even know. I don't have any idea. God is keeping us. Amen. We were in a boat one time crossing Lake Victoria. And these boats are not big. They are rather small. And they hold about maybe 150 people. And two boats took off. We took off. I was with Pastor Dwayne George. Anybody know him? You raised him. You ought to know him. Did you observe to preserve him? Thank you. Thank you. You really did. And I'm throwing up because of the rough ride, you know. It's one of these boats, and I'm not good. I hate boats. Don't ever invite me on a boat. I'm not coming. And don't be offended if I say it. I hate boats. Careful, we're in a harbor. I don't like it. And I'm sick as a dog down below in the galley. He's even worse down below. He's up there fishing off the deck, singing a song that he sang for like an hour and a half straight. I have decided to follow Jesus. I'm like, could you just find another song? And what you could see following the boat were 3,000-pound crocodiles just waiting for a mistake, just waiting for something to go wrong so they could have their lunch. And I thought, God, you got to keep us. You got to get us across. You know, when I got across, I swore I would never go back that way. He talked me into it. Going back by boat again. God did what? Kept us. Amen? He kept us. I was thinking about an incident that took place in the country of two instances. One was in Qatar. Did I say that right? Qatar. Q-A-T-A-R. Huh? Qatar. Every time I say Qatar, somebody says Qatar. Every time I say Qatar, somebody says Qatar. Sounds like a guitar. I don't know what's whatever. It doesn't matter. So I get arrested in McDonald's while I'm eating a chicken sandwich with French fries, which I like. Don't get me any. They handcuff me and say, come with us. I said, oh, okay. Where are we going? To a better restaurant? They said, yeah. Yeah, you're going to go where the food's not good at all. And so I'm there, and they're giving me all this idea, 3 hours of interrogation. They actually think they can break us. They can't break us. We're kept by God, amen? And eventually, the guy that was interrogating me said to me, I really think I might believe what you're saying about Jesus. I'm going to let you go. And he let me go because I'm kept by God. I'm kept by God. One time we got arrested, 9 of us in Morocco. And we're all there. Pastor Mark Minichiello, oh, he's gone. Okay, Pastor Mark Minichiello was there. He remembers the story. We were being interrogated one at a time. And did you ever have a laughing fit when you're not supposed to? Have you ever had like a laughing fit when you can't stop laughing and it's the worst place to do it? Could be at a funeral, someplace, you know? You just can't stop laughing. That's how it happened. And we thought we're in big trouble, but guess what? We were what? Kept by God. God kept us and used the man who was the second leading man in the country to deliver us. See, God uses Chief Captain Lysias. Amen? God uses people. But God is in the keeping business. He's observing my life to preserve it. Even when I am going in the wrong direction. My name is Jonah. And I'm saying no to the call. And I'm heading towards Tarshish. I'm out of here. Disobedience. I'm a prophet of God. And I'm leaving. And guess what? I end up in the belly of a whale and spit up on my mission field. Kept by the power of God. Are you listening? I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which he has committed unto me until the day. I'm kept. Jacob, I'm going to use you. The elder shall serve the younger. Mama gets involved and has him steal the blessing which he already had because he had the birthright. Birthright comes with blessing. And he's on his way out of the promised land, running away to Haran, running away to Uncle Laban, okay? Uncle Laban. And God meets him at Bethel, and he speaks to him, and the angels of God are ascending and descending. And he laid down and used a stone for a pillow, and the angels of God, he gets a vision, and God says to him 7 things. One of the 7 was, I'm going to keep you. I'm going to observe you to preserve you, Jacob. You couldn't preserve yourself. You'll destroy yourself. All right? That's also Hosea chapter 13, verse, I think it's 9. You'll destroy yourself. I'm observing you, Jacob, to preserve you. And I'm going to bring you back one day. You're going to spread abroad. I'm with you. I'll never leave you until I finish that which I've spoken to you about. Jacob, liar, trickster, deceiver, supplanter, I'm going to keep you. You fail, I'm going to what? Huh? That doesn't mean go out and fail on purpose. But I want us to understand that when we fall in Psalm 37, 24 in his arms. We're in his hands. Are you with me? No man can pluck you out of my hand. John 10, 27 through 30. That means you can't pluck yourself out. Hello? You can't pluck yourself out by your decisions. Yes, God can discipline us, and we can go home early, or things can happen, but we're in the hand of God. He keeps us. I'm kept by God. I will never deny you. No way. Though all these deny you, not me. Not me. That's Peter speaking. These guys will probably will, but I won't. Jesus, he'll be the first one. You're going to be the first one. And before the cock crows 3 times, you'll have denied that you know me. But he still was the pastor. He still did the Pentecost preaching. Why? He was kept by God. Are you with me? Kept by God. I had 2 young girls that we took in 1989 and 1990. And they came this convention. They each have 3 children. And it was awesome. They cooked me dinner. A real dinner. Like, you know, macaroni pizza. And chicken with peanut stew. It was amazing with rice. And I was marveling at how long. These girls have been in the ministry 28 years. and they've gone through hell and back, but there they are with their kids, and their kids are saying, Greater Grace is our ministry. Pastor Shibeli is our father or grandfather. And I was thinking how God kept these two girls, Tina and Asibi, all these years. They've been through difficulties. They've been through tests. They've been through trials. There have been situations marriage-wise that have taken place. But to be with them in that time in West Africa, we realize that God does the keeping. You can't always be there, but your prayers to God can always be there. God does the keeping. I'm in his heart, I'm in his eye, and I'm in his hand. Are you with me this morning? Yes. Are you here? Yes. Think about that. The devil says you just jumped yourself out of God's hand by your failure, by your sin, by what you've done. Israel, God had a covenant with Israel. It's been thousands of years, and God keeps Israel as the apple of his what? Eye. You know what that word means? We've explained it before. Married couple right in front. Okay, the two of you stand up. I'm talking to you. You know. Okay, now look in her eye. Look in that little brown part of her eye, if it's blue. What do you see? No. You're ruining the message. Now, come on. No, no. No, you're not. You can't. What do you see in that little dark part of her eye? You see yourself. Look in his eye. What do you see? Come on. Light? You don't see yourself? And he's got contact lenses on or something. Don't you see yourself in his eye? You see yourself. Am I right? Thank you. I don't know how much that helped. Listen. The word apple in the Hebrew means you're the little boy and the little girl of God's eye. I'm God's little boy. I'm God's little girl. It's amazing. And every time you see the word apple used, you see the word kept. Are you with me? Deuteronomy 32 verse 10, it says, God led me, guided me, instructed me, and kept me as the what? The apple of his eye. Are you with me? Are you with me? Psalm 17:8. I am kept as the apple of his eye. Proverbs 7:2. I am kept as the apple of his eye. Lamentations 2:18. I am kept as the apple of his eye. Will never cease. Zechariah 2:8. Don't touch this person, because when you do it, you're touching the apple of his eye. Who wants to stick their finger in God's eye? Did you ever get somebody, anybody ever stick their finger in your eye? It's happened on the basketball court. It used to happen on the hockey rink. But now, because of the way they play hockey now, which is really strange to me, we never had helmets or masks or glass things in front. You got your teeth kicked in. That's just the way it was. You know, you got your head bashed in, your nose broke, your teeth missing. I went to grab a slap shot one time. My glove came off, and I broke four fingers. A guy took a slap shot from the foul line, and I went with my hand, and the glove came off, and these four fingers were broke. Awesome. It was great, actually. Yeah. But it's good to have some pain, because it develops a capacity to retain life, because you can go through pain. Okay. Kept as the apple of his eye. Kept. And this is amazing. I'm kept as the apple of his eye. And this is what happens. When you look in God's eye, you see yourself. When God looks in your eye, he sees himself. We're kept. We're kept by God. Noah was kept for 120 years. This is what I've called you to do. I'm going to keep you. Everybody's going to be against you. And you can have situations, whether it's in family or in a marriage or at work, at your job, in your neighborhood, and you can find yourself kind of alone, maybe in a walk with God, but God is saying, I'm going to keep you. Amen? I'm going to keep you, John 17, 11, 12, and 15. I'm going to keep you. I, the omniscient one, the omnipresent one, the all-powerful one, the one who's eternal, the one who's unchanging, the one who is personal, I'm going to keep you. Moses, you're going to spend your life, Moses, is a 40-40-40 life. 40 years, right? 40 years in the wilderness, 40 years in Egypt, 40 years back in the wilderness with the children of Israel. Moses, I'm going to keep you. When it's time for you to go home, I'll bring you home. I do the keeping. I keep Moses. I keep Jacob. I keep Joseph in Egypt for 110 years. This is amazing. From the time he's 17 to he's 110, 93 years. Sorry, bad math. 93 years, I'm going to keep Joseph. And I'm going to bring him out with all these people. His bones are going up. I keep Israel. I keep the believer. I keep the church. Hello? I keep the church. This is Jesus Christ. I keep the church. He's the one that does the keeping. I don't care. We are living in a world, and we heard the verses from John 17. There's evil everywhere. I'm going to keep you from evil. Amen? I will keep you from evil. It's not going away. You know, there's some of these weird old hyper-spiritual Christians, you know. Oh, I just wish Jesus would come back and it would all go away. You know what? If he comes back, hallelujah. I'm not praying. I don't care about that. I want to be used by God now. Amen? We want to see more souls won, more disciples made, more churches planted. God's going to keep us. But if I walk around not believing that, I have eternal security, but I live a very insecure life. And I realize God's going to keep me. I want to go to Bible school. I don't know how I can do it financially. God will keep you. What's in God's vision is always God's provision. Are you with me? When it's God's plan, God does the keeping. Somebody says, I tried that way. Well, yeah, I tried to keep yourself. God gave you a purpose and a will and a direction to go in, but you got in the business of performance. You trying to make it happen. Pray. This week, we're meeting with an organization. They told me they've looked at us, our website. They've interviewed a few people in our ministry in regards to missions. And they said they're going to come on Thursday, 10 o'clock. Just pray that God will really move in this meeting. They're from outside. They're a very large missions organization. And they want to help financially. Pray that if it's God's will, it happens. Are you with me? Because I said to them, they said, what could you do with a couple million dollars? I said, it would take me a week to spend it. There's so many needs and there's so many things everywhere. The will of God. But God keeps us. I mean, it's amazing. We have 669 churches now. All from a little thing that happened in Maine. Remember? Anybody remember that? A little thing that happened in Maine. And it spread to 78 countries. And in 78 countries with 669 churches and 35,000 people coming to church. God does the what? God does the keeping. He does the keeping. He's watching over us. He's observing my life to preserve my life. He's observing our church to preserve our church. And something happens, but it's in the hand of God. It's in the eye of God. It's in the heart of God. God does the keeping. And we have to make decisions in life. Do we make them trying to keep it all together?
Just trying to keep it together. Trying to make it happen, you know?
No, God does the keeping of my marriage. God does the keeping of children and grandchildren. God does the keeping of my health, your health. Some people are so fanatical about their health, you know. I mean, it was somebody that said to me, oh, don't touch me, I got a cold.
Oh, really?
I said, if you know how many diseases I'm breathing at you right now, you wouldn't even be near me. Oh, God does the keeping. Yeah, I believe it's like Moab and Ammon. If you get enough of them, they kill each other. So you don't want just one, you want three or four, and they'll kill each other. And then you'll be healthy. God does the keeping. Doctor told me one time, he said, you'll never preach again and you'll never travel again. I said, thank you, and I know you're Jewish, but I have a better Jewish doctor than you. Ha ha. He goes, impossible, your brain's gone. I said, still, my brain gone is three times more powerful than your brain alive. He did not like it. He did not like my answers. God does the keeping, amen? God does the keeping. God keeps you. God preserves you. God observes you. God protects you. There's safety in God. And that way we can take risks. Say, oh, I'm not a risk taker. By the way, Peter walked on water. He came out of the boat. Don't we want to be a church like that? that walks on the water of the world instead of settling in, settling down, getting comfortable. And just going to just get nice and comfy, get my blanket, and just sit on my couch and never take a risk for the rest of my life. I'd rather die than live like that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You say this crazy person preaching today. Yes, it's true. It's true because God does the keeping. He's kept you. He's kept me. He's kept our church. He's kept the ministry. There's been all kinds of attacks and all kinds of enemies that have come against us everywhere. Are you joking? Everywhere. It's incredible. But God does the what? Keeping. I met people in Liberia, and they were telling me some of the things they've gone through with a 17-year civil war. There's not an animal left in the country. You're hungry, you're going to eat. I don't care what it is. You know? And God kept them. Greater Grace has 27 churches in Liberia. Bible schools. A new building we're building. It's amazing. God has preserved. He's observed the Liberian work to preserve it. He's observed your life to preserve it. He's watching over us. He's the keeper of Psalm 121, verse 5. He's the protector. He says, listen, Zion says, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. God says, can a woman forget her sucking child? Neither can I forget you. Your walls are continually before me. I'll keep you. Even when you think you're not being kept, I'm doing the keeping. I'm covering you. I'm protecting you. I'm observing you to preserve you. As we go through this day and we go through this week, we go through this month, we go through this year, we go through this life, God is doing what? God is keeping us. Father, thank you today. Thank you. Before I pray, listen to this. Listen, one more thing before I pray. Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. It is said about Jesus, simply this, God will keep you in all your ways. When Satan quoted Psalm 91 to Jesus, he said everything, but he forgot three words. He said, cast yourself down, for it is written, his angels will give charge over you. He didn't say the three words that were necessary in there. He misquoted the Bible, to keep you in all your ways. He's a liar. And he wants you to believe that God can't keep you. You got to keep yourself. You got to keep yourself holy. You got to keep yourself spiritual. You got to keep yourself in the provision. You got to keep yourself financially. You got to keep yourself. You got to keep yourself. There's one creature that's hell to go to hell where he's going to be the rest of eternity. Okay, but Father, thank you today. Thank you that you keep us in your way. We thank you, Jesus, today. We pray if you are here or you're watching on the internet, you've never received Christ as your personal Savior. He wants to come in, save you by his blood, the person and the work of the cross, the person and his blood, and set you free and save you forever and seal you with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13 and 4:30, seal you. Save you and seal you and give you a destiny with God. He wants to not just own you, but keep you secure in himself. That's your prayer with our eyes closed, our head bowed, or on the internet. You can just acknowledge, say yes to God. God, save me. Jesus, save me. If you're here, put your hand up in the audience. If you're on the internet, just agree with God. Agree with the message. God, keep me. God, keep me. Thank you that with eternal life, there is no midlife crisis. Doesn't occur. I'm in his heart. I'm in his eye and I'm in his hand. I'm in the Father. I'm in the Son and I'm in the Spirit. And when I'm in, there's no more sin. I'm in and there's no more sin in my position in Christ. Eternal security. And may that security that I have eternally in Christ be manifest in our daily decisions experientially. Father, we thank you today. Pray that you bless our day today with a great initiation of the Spirit to personally show us how we are kept by God. God keeps us. God keeps us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and we'll close with a prayer. Amen? 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 Amen. Okay, don't forget, tonight's service is going to be short. It's going to be a couple of songs. An offering and a message, and you'll be out of here. Those who want to stay, there will be people here for that too. Hallelujah and praise the Lord. Raise your hands and thank Him. Thank Him for His keeping power, His keeping ability, His keeping life. If the Father can keep the Son, and the Son can keep the Spirit, and the Trinity can keep one another eternally and personally, they certainly can keep us. Can you imagine how one angel would try to go against the Trinity? Defeated. How could he ever think of winning the eternal Father, the eternal Son, and the eternal Spirit against an angel that became a demon? What a joke. We have victory in Christ. So thank you, Jesus. We pray that you bless us today. Help us, God, to digest and bring in a personal application in our life. This is key. To take the Word of God and let the Spirit apply it in my personal life, so that I will have amazing security today based upon God observing to preserve eternally. We thank you. Bless our day. Thank you for this church. In Jesus' name, amen.